Hi everyone, and thanks for coming. Sorry for that, it's not our fault, it's rice. Okay, my name is Pierre-André Leny, and I'm a French GIS consultant. And Bertrand Dumeneux is a researcher. We are going to present you a beginning project called Social Dynamics in Urban Context. With the goal of the goal is to build some open tools and data set to explore the spatial and social history of Paris in a period from the revolution to the middle of 18th century. It is a project funded by the French National Agency called ANR. And I will let Bertrand for the first part.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So hi. This talk is about studying social facts in history that are located in space. And the goal is that the idea is, as stressed out by Andrew Abbott, a sociologist of the Chicago School, if you study the spatial properties of social facts, this is the only way you can understand it fully and very deeply. And in fact, social facts, they are not only located, they are there is a kind of spatial complex relationships between social facts and social phenomena and the geographical space. First of all, social facts, they shape geographical space. Like if you can imagine in a city, if you create a new street, this is resulting from political and economical processes, but also the geographic space has an influence on society. And I think the simple example of that is gentrification, where changes in the shape of a neighborhood will have some effect on who will live there. And those two relationships, they are in fact interlocked, and they form a kind of loop which is evolving through time. And when historians are working on social phenomena, they are studying this evolving loop in time using both the space, geographical space, and social data. And nowadays, we can use GIS, of course, to study this kind of phenomena. And this is a very simple example that we are doing right now at my lab about the re-gentrification of Paris during the 19th century, where the idea is to study the evolution of wealth inequalities in the city over one century with an eye on the morphological changes in the geographical, the structure of the city. And we are using very common GIS stack, mainly QGIS and PostGIS, and extracting data from multiple data sources covering the whole period. Of course, spatial sources like maps, cadasters, and atlases at different times in the 19th century, and social sources, mainly sensor and inheritance registers, which provide us with people's name, with their addresses, and some information about their income, how much tax they pay, or the value of their possessions. And of course, we need to extract data, geographic vector data, from that to be able to quantitatively study and analyze these phenomena. So we extracted the different road networks to study the structure of the city, and also the addresses contained in the maps in order to build a gazetteer of historical addresses. And we did the same extracting data, from the sensor registers and inheritance registers, and we geocoded this data using the historical gazetteer we built before. And this allows us to study the structural change in the city using the different road networks, dating from the end of the 18th century to the end of the 19th century, and study how local changes in the shape of the network has global effects on its structure. And we also have ways to it allow us to map, in fact, to map. Oh, what's happening? It's not in the slides. It's not an animation. Don't know. Yeah. Something. I don't know. It does nothing. Click on the PDF and control, control L. Should be okay. Yeah, great. Thanks. Okay, so this is regentrification of Paris, where the richest inhabitants who are living in the very center of the city in the beginning of the 19th century then moved slowly to the west during the century and finally came back. There were new rich people in the city at the end of the century due to the creation of new boulevards and new city squares in the center of Paris. And so in 2019, this kind of work is pretty common, I mean, in historical sciences, because GIS in historical sciences is finally a thing. And this is mainly due to the use and the extensive use of QGIS in academics. So we have really to thank the contributors in the community of QGIS. Without it, we can't do anything without QGIS. And also, we rely on massive amounts of open archival documents, such as MAP, for example, which are published openly by digital libraries on the web. And there is a global movement in the academic to publish and to open the research data, which is also helped by public policies, at least in Europe, that encourages and even sometimes force in France to open research data. But there are still some problems with the still some things to do. First, the universe of geographic historical data is made of small data sets that have a low level of redundancy and a low overlaying, because historians are working most of the time on very specific parts of space and very specific period of time, and they rely on a few, I mean, historical sources are scarce, you know, there are not a lot of historical sources on one place. And also building geohistorical data and extracting geohistorical data is a difficult task, because you have often to do it at least partially manually, and it's like it's a matter of building geospatial temporal data from with an aggregative process where you are going to take some pieces of information and bring them together from historical sources. And most of the time, the data sets come with very few documentation, so there is a lack of lineage metadata. It makes the data hard to reuse and sometimes hard to understand, and it's hard to... it's pretty complicated to know if there is bias in the data, which is a problem when you try to model and study historical facts. So the idea of the project is that we could improve those points by being specific tools to help historians collaborate and build in an iterative and aggregative way to build and share geohistorical data to analyze old states of the geographical space and locate social facts. So that's why we are starting the SODUCO project. As Pierre said, it's funded by the French National Research Agency. It started just a few months ago. It's a four-year project, and we have almost €500,000 to hire mostly postdocs, engineers, PhD, to create PhD, to hire PhD students. And it brings together people from different horizons, like people from GI science with the IGN, historians from the School of Higher Studies in Social Sciences, computer scientists, people from the National Archive of France, and people like Pierre who have a foot in the industry and the world of Phosphor G. It relies on different previous projects which involved most of the team. And just one example of this is a first collaborative experiment, which was the goal was to digitize the Cassini map of France, which is a single snapshot covering it's a historical map that covers the entire country in the late 18th century. And it's very unique because it's global, it's very detailed, and it's pretty homogeneous for historical sources. So the idea was to extract and digitize manually, the road network to perform analysis comparing the network from the 18th century with nowadays. We started with almost 50 people, 50 researchers and historians. And in less than a year, we were able to extract the full network from the historical georeferenced map of Cassini. If we take the we finally did it in almost a year. The full dataset is open and published on the Harvard Dataverse, and it comes with a data paper to provide documentation, a full documentation about how we created those data. And this is just a slide about the top 27 main contributors. Each color is one contributor of this experiment. So,
thank you. Thank you, Bertrand. So this digitizing is very easy. It's a simple process, but what we want to do finally now is to have a reproducible approach to study the evolution of Paris over 150 years. We want to analyzing social and spatial coevolutions, producing a critical analysis of primary sources. It's really important. Building geohistorical data, so in a semi-automatic collaborative way. That's one of the goals. We want to implement and make the approach available to others by developing reusable, free and open source tools tailored for geohistorical data. And in fact, we want to finally provide a free and open web platform to construct and share data. We have to be punchy because I think we haven't got a lot of time. It's not really a success, but sources, like Bertrand says, we have many, many old sources, some Paris trade directories, Paris city maps and atlases, and some of the cadastre. So the goal, we said, is to build a platform. The main goal is to develop a platform composed by several components, independent components. We are going to build this platform on FOSS tools, free and open source tools, not only geospatial, but always FOSS. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We have so many things to do, so even if we have 500,000, we have a lot of work. And we want to develop generic tools to permit reuse. So we plan to develop six main components called georeferencer, social data extractor, semi-automatic collaborative digitizer, and a collaborative social data editor, a geohistorical matcher, and a geocoder. So as you can see, we have a lot. We have 4 years of work. In terms of technical aspect, we plan to have a very central geohistorical database using so PostGIS, and we are using Phosphor G and OSGeo stack to develop these tools. The platform will be OGC compliant with a lot of WMS, WFS, and probably some WPS. As we said, is the project is it begin, so we all things are not really yet ready. Well, using a Docker orchestration for that, and one important thing is that all the project is hosted by a project called Humanum. It's a very large research public structure for digital humanities. We need this platform and this help to technical infrastructure, servers, and many other things who are really important. I'm sorry, I can't really watch you because I have to watch the screen.
The first, we have already developed a proof of concept of an historical geocoder. Okay, I think that we know what it is geocoding, but we are going to add the date dimension, the temporal dimension. So we have got an in-base geocoder based on PostgreSQL with on a PLPG SQL, so store procedures, and with an API. So it's a proof of concept now of an historical geocoder. It works. You can follow the link if you want. Classic geocoders, you take an address and we will have an answer with our coordinates. And in our case, we want to have an address plus a date. And sometimes it is a fuzzy date. It's not really absolute date. So like you say, I'm going to use the laser. You have some fuzzy date. It's more period than a date, which we are easy to use. So historical geocoder will be address plus date, and the response will be coordinates and the data source. It's really important for us. Concerning the open source model and licenses, it's important. So our goal is really to increase open science, okay, in historical science using free and open source software and reproducible science need for today. We are the license will not be unique. It will be a platform composed by many other and several components, like I said. So there are so many, it's a big mess, you know, open source license with contamination or other things. So we want to always, we are going to always aim for maximum openness. Today, it's licenses used is AfroGPL. It's not the most openness, but it's well adapted to API context. And the component of, I think, the geocoder or their other parts on the MIT license. The benefits for Force4j community, it's all the development will be totally open source. We are going to develop open tools. We are going to share our data sets in a collaborative approach. Like the first project, we are very on the code sourcing approach. And we are open to contribution. That's one of the reasons we are here today. It's to continue to have some informal collaboration or formal. We have some with New York Public Library and from a genealogist in France, or the World Historical Gazette. It's a goal for contribution today. We have many ideas, but we are finally a small team. The project is a totally free and open source code, like we said. So we are open for contribution, mainly for development at this time of the project. You can have a look at the repository and our website, okay? And we hope that in the future, probably last year or other years later, a possible replication for cities with similar sources, maybe like Bucharest or Vienna. And I think it's stopped now, but we have got normally a conclusion. So, like we said, it is a French national agency research funded project in a multidisciplinary way. So we are working with a historian, geographer, computer science people. You know, it's sometimes difficult to be able to work together with in different disciplinary. And we have to fight and to success with some challenges, finally, like scientific and technical challenges. I think there was another bullet point, but I forget it. So thank you. And it's time for question. I don't know really if we have. Thank you.
For this was a technical issue, let's hope they will solve it. So one meaningful question. Who has it?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure about meaningful, but just out of curiosity, when you're talking about the geocoder, the historical geocoder, do you also plan a reverse one?
Yeah, I will probably let Bertrand respond on that. Want to reserve? It's okay.
Yeah. So. The idea that for now we have the proof of concept made of a direct geocoder, but we plan to rely on existing geocoder like Pelias, for example. So there is reverse geocoding in that case. But for just for our use case, we are mostly interested in direct geocoding because the main use case for historians is to take social data with addresses and place them in space in the geographical space. So we won't do it ourselves, but if we collaborate and contribute to Pelias to add, for example, the historical side of it and integrate the temporal dimension, in this case, we will have the reverse geocoding. Yeah.
Yeah, not just thinking, it would be fun.
Okay, so thank you and sorry for the condition. I think the laptop is.
Thank you very much. We will try to solve it.